Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Each spring, I have the practice of rereading a beautiful book called The Tree That Survived the Winter. Have any of you had the opportunity to be exposed to this little book? Well, I'm going to pass it back because we have some children who are here with us today. So if the point is to make it to the children, not for all of the adults to read it. So would you pass this back so they can have something to look at during the sermon? And I'll tell you why I love this book so much. This book is a beautiful parable about a young tree who finds herself uprooted from the safety of her nursery, taken to a hillside where she's planted. While she is on this hillside, she, of course, begins to sink some roots and settle into her new home. But while she is on the hillside, this terrible thing comes to her called winter. And during the winter, she feels her roots start to freeze and to tighten. She feels all of the sap in her branches, you know, pull close to her body, and everything about this young tree pulls inward. The winds come, and she's scared by all that's blown around. The winds knock things into her that gash her bark and leave her with wounds. The sun seems to be completely gone. She's cold. She's alone. All of her bird friends are gone. The winter is just so confusing to her. But spring comes, and in spring, as the ground begins to thaw, her roots had kind of gotten used to being cold and tight. But when that earth thaws and begins to soften and slide away, she has a moment of panic because she's not sure if she'll just fall into the earth. But slowly she begins to feel the warmth of the sun helping her to unfurl in every way. Her branches begin to go out and relax. The little buds of the tree come out. Her bird friends begin to return. She begins to feel warm. Her roots are growing, and everything feels so much more comfortable and peaceful. But not long into that process, she has a horrible, horrible night, and she remembers that terrible winter. She is so full of frustration and anger when the sun comes up the next day, she rages, "Where were you? Why did you leave me alone? It was so cold. It was so lonely. I got scarred. What was that all about?" And the sun very reassuringly says to her, "Of course, I was always with you. But sometimes the clouds came between you and me. But then I would send the snow so that my light would come from above and be reflected from below. But even on those days, do you remember that you complained that the glare was too much?" "I was always with you." So the trees kind of settled into that and allowed her growth to continue. And as her leaves came out and she was getting more majestic, children would come and play under her. And she found such great joy and delight in their games and in their fun. And they loved this tree, and they turned to her and they said, "We are going to call you friend." And the tree was so delighted and so touched. And then two lovers came along who were strolling through the meadow and who sat down under the tree and whispered sweet nothings to each other and shared secrets. And even when they carved their initials in her bark, which did not feel so great, they said to the tree, "You are the keeper of our secrets." And the tree felt so proud of what she had provided the safe space for. But then the tree saw a very sorrowful older woman coming towards her who didn't even seem to notice her. So the tree threw an apple down in her path, which the woman picked up and sat down on the ground, leaning against the tree, full of heartache and grief. And she ate the apple. In the branches of the tree, feeling that life of the earth coursing through the tree, the warmth of the sun, the shelter of the shade, the woman found a moment of peace. And she turned and she touched the tree with her hand, and she happened to touch one of the scars of the winter. The tree felt herself recoil because it was so tender. But then through that break in the bark, the tree's life force and the woman's life force met each other. And they found this great place of solidarity in this wound. And the woman whispered, "I will call you Hope." And she got up and she walked away, full of a deeper sense of peace and purpose. After these experiences, the tree says to the sun, "I've been given these names of friend and keeper of secrets and hope, but what is my name?" And the sun said, "That's something that you'll have to discover deep inside you." So the tree waited and waited, and one night, under the majesty of the stars and the cocoon of the darkness, from deep within her, the tree felt her voice say, "My name is Faithful." I adore this parable because it tells us that faithfulness and experiences of winter and scars and children and hope and new life are all in the embrace of our Lord. In our contemporary society that is so governed by the mind, by this Cartesian mentality that I think, therefore I am, when we can't think something through, when we can't understand it mentally, we feel that we're plunged into doubt. And doubt equals bad because we can't sort it out mentally. Thomas so deeply had this sense of what in the world is going on. I don't know if you noticed at the beginning of the gospel lesson, all of the disciples are gathered together for fear of the Jews and consoling each other and rejoicing with each other and trying to figure out what is this with the resurrection of our Lord. But Thomas isn't with them. I wonder if Thomas was so depressed and so overwhelmed by the death of our Lord that he was at home in bed and couldn't get out of bed. Or if he was so ecstatic and excited about Jesus that he was out all over the countryside trying to find him, desperately trying to find him, despite the risk that there would have been to his physical self from the Jews and from the Romans. Or maybe, like many of us, when we're confused and overwhelmed and don't know what to do, maybe Thomas was a workaholic and he was working 80 hours a week, and so he wasn't at home with the rest of the disciples. But 1 week later, he was there. Just 1 week later, Thomas was seeking the comfort of his community. He was allowing himself to be in a place where he could reminisce about Jesus and ponder aloud with other people, what is this all about? And in that context, Jesus comes to him and does not rebuke him. I mean, remember, Jesus is not at all shy about rebuking people when they need to. He has been known to say, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. So Jesus is not rebuking Thomas, but simply accepting his questions and his doubt, knowing that there was a core of belief, of faithfulness, of love and passion for his Lord, that despite wherever he was in that week, despite all of the questions swirling in his mind, that faithfulness brought him back. And in that community, he met Jesus. As you listen to this gospel lesson this year, it comes around every year, a week after Easter, I hope that you can experience those times of wintry darkness, questioning, anger, frustration, not necessarily as doubt, but as a natural process that occurs to almost everybody. A process that strengthens us. We know that trees need wind and stresses to help them become strong. And I hope you also can experience the wounds that you have to go through at different times in your life as possible points of solidarity with other people. And that you will take the risk, whether you are hurt or remorseful or ashamed or lonely or angry, whatever it is, to find yourself in community with other people who likely have similar scars and wounds. And together, when you reach out and touch each other so gently and reverently, our risen Lord is there and bearing the word of hope into your lives as well. Amen.